Amen. We've been doing this series called Good or God. The context comes out of a John Bevere book, which the small groups will be utilizing it for this first round. And the Good or God is the theme, we're drawing from it. We're not doing a book report. I don't believe in doing book reports from the platform. But it will be in the same complementary role. So when you read the book and you listen to the messages, you'll see how they work together, but don't mimic each other. So the idea is that just because something is good, or looks good, I should say, doesn't mean it is good. Just because something looks good doesn't mean it is good. We want to have a good life. We want to have good success. We want to have a good job, good pay, a good car, good, right? Those are things that we use a lot. And in the journey of life, we make a lot of choices. And those choices have a way of affecting or directing us on the path of life. Just because you want it doesn't mean you're going to have it. We got to learn to make proper choices. But the cool thing is that God can lead and direct us and strengthen us so that we can have all the good things he has for us. The devil utilizes the desire for good and your Heavenly Father's desire to do good in your life. And he utilizes that in a deceptive way to trip you up. Because he's a deceiver. Jesus said that he's a father of lies. There's no truth in him. And he has a way of making something look good but isn't good. That's what he used against Eve. He made something that she wasn't supposed to have look good, that she was willing to turn her back on God and try it. And yet he wasn't, breaking it down this way, he wasn't trying to get anything to her. He was trying to get something from her. What we have to realize is if you go to the Word of God, John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. And life more abundantly. So the devil's not trying to get something to you. He's trying to get something from you. A thief never tries to break into a house to bring something and leave it. A thief breaks into a house to take something of value that you have. That's the thief. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's not there to play games. He's not there to just so you have a good time. No, he's trying to get something from you, and he will bait something that you think you want until you reach for it and find out what it costs you. You don't go in a restaurant and look at a menu, and if you ever had a menu you looked at that didn't have prices on it, and just randomly order. No, wisdom is find out what it costs. Right? You don't want to order five things off the menu and find out it's more than you could pay. See, and that's what the devil, he'll offer stuff, say it's free, and once you bite into it, he says, now you owe me. But I can't pay that. Of course you can't. That's where sin is. But that's why Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary, to pay a price that you could never pay on your own, amen? And don't get upset about saying, well, there's got to be more than one way to heaven besides Jesus. He's the only one that could afford the price and was willing to pay the price. Nobody else can, nobody else did, and that's your option, to accept what he's trying to do for you or reject it, because God doesn't send people to hell. People send people to hell. They choose not to accept what he's already paid for. And good people don't make it to heaven, only forgiven people. But we found out that to understand a good life or the good things that God has for us, we have to start at the basis of not only the emphasis that the enemy's trying to take it from you, but also that the goodness originates, the beginning phase, the starting point zero, you could say, is God himself. To the point that one day when they approached Jesus and said, good master or good teacher, how do I inherit eternal life? Here's somebody who was seeking information, revelation for salvation or eternal life. And Jesus didn't go into how. He stopped them in the point of the thought and said, wait a minute, there's none good but one, and that's God, your Heavenly Father. None good. Why? It must be pretty important for Jesus to say that. Why not lead the person into the kingdom and then explain? No, he stopped right. Just make sure you understand that there is none good but one, and that's your Heavenly Father. God is good. Did you hear me? God is good. All good things that come from heaven are from him. Any good thing that you receive comes from him. He's the Father of lights. He's the Father of all good things. He is good, and anything that tries to say that it's good and tries to take you from your Heavenly Father really isn't good. Well, if you're going to love me, you better stay away from church and don't read your Bible. I'm telling you, before you get tied up into it, anything that pulls you from him is not good. It might look good on the surface, but it's not good. Anything that draws you out of his presence, anything that draws you out of his peace, anything that draws you out of his protection, anything that draws you out of his provision is not good. Because if somebody really loved you, and I don't know who I'm talking to, and I didn't say this in the first service, if they really loved you, then they would want you to stay in the center of God's love. If they really cared about you. But if all they want you to do is change for them, then they don't care about you. They just care about themselves. And you better nip that thing in the bud quick. Can I get an amen? And the church said, thank you very much. And that's the truth. Anything that pulls you away from God, it's not going to be good. It might look good in the surface. It might look good in a moment. But after that moment, and we all know that that moment doesn't last. And after that moment is the next moment. And it's the next moment that always gets you. It's the next moment. Because the wages of sin is what?
Death.
That means there's a payday. You don't get paid when you show up for work. You don't get paid the first day you work. But if you keep working, you will get paid. Good or bad. Good or bad. You might not get payday when you sin. But if you keep sinning, there's going to be death. Payday always shows up. Well, you don't know what he's talking about. I don't have to know. I just know the word. I got to do is quote what the Bible says. And people, all of a sudden, you got to realize that God knows. He created the instruction manual. He is good. Say, God is good.
God is good.
He is good. He's not only good, he's generous. One of the questions and challenges that the prodigal son in the parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son's brother, and when they were throwing a party because his brother who had rebelled against his father and came back and they accepted him and they didn't punish him and didn't run him down. See what happens in the church world if someone goes off and sins and comes back, everybody's got to mark that letter on them to remind them that they're a bad person for a while till they feel that they've paid their... No, that's penance. You don't do that. The price was paid on Calvary. The father didn't say, I'm going to keep you a servant for 60 days and then bring him. No, no. When he started coming back, the father started going out and they met. He embraced him. He restored him. Are you with me? And yet that frustrated the other brother. I'll tell you, religious people don't like forgiveness. Grace doesn't mean you can live any way you want and God's just okay with it. No, grace brings you to a whole nother level. See, there is a teaching in the church world, and if I'm your pastor, I'm just trying to warn you, that you can see on Christian television networks that people will say, God, because of the blood of Jesus, all your sins are covered, past, present, and future. That's correct. Right? Jesus don't have to go to the cross again. 2,000 years ago, what he did on the cross of Calvary is capable of forgiving all sins, past, present, and future. But then they'll go on a little farther, if you don't mind me going down this road for a quick second. They'll go a little farther and say, because of that, God doesn't care what you do now. You commit adultery, no big deal. You don't have to repent. It's already been taken care of. Really? See, I had a lady call me once and say, Pastor, I'm thinking about leaving the church. And I said, well, okay, I appreciate you calling me. Tell me why. Well, I don't agree with what you talk about. You said you didn't believe in the grace doctrine. I believe in grace. And I said, well, I do believe in grace. How do you see it? And she said that God's grace saved us. I said, I believe that. But there's something else out there that they use the word grace, and it means you can sin any way you want, and God doesn't care. Oh, I don't believe that. I said, I don't either. I'm glad she called. Amen. Because Romans 6, Paul says, because you've been brought into freedom, should you use your freedom to go out and live as sin? And he goes on to say, King James translation, God forbid. I don't know about how you interpret that, but I interpret God forbid is not a good idea. And he goes on to say, for whom you yield yourself servants to, that's whom you're going to be a servant to sin or to righteousness. If repentance was only at salvation and not through the process of when you sin, then 1 John needs to be changed. And they can misinterpret that and say, well, this is for one group and that's for the next group. Well, let me take it a little farther. Then why did Jesus tell the church in Revelation, the last day church, and each one he commended them for doing something, but others, each one he dealt with them about what they were doing wrong, and he told each one to repent. Why would you tell a last day church in Revelation to repent if they never have to repent again since they got saved? And he is talking to the church. People who are saved in the church. Okay, moving right along. Say, God is good. And he only has the best intentions for you. He's not trying to steal from you. The devil's trying to steal. And the devil will tell you that it's God taken from you. That's where religion comes in. If you're a guest, I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. It's man trying to manipulate what's in the Bible, but they distort it and twist it and misinterpret it. I believe in the truth of God's word. It's a relationship, not a religion. And your Heavenly Father is a good God, and he has good things. Psalms 84, we found last week that it says that he will not withhold any good thing. God doesn't put poverty on people. He paid for that. It's part of the curse. Look it up in the Old Testament. Poverty was under the curse, and Jesus became a curse, the Bible says, by hanging on the tree. He took that upon himself so that you wouldn't have to deal with it. See, when you get a revelation of that, you'll rise up and say, I'll never be poor another day in my life. Not because there's a penny in your account, but because there's a revelation in your heart. And when the revelation gets in your heart, it'll change your account. God doesn't put cancer or sickness on people. He took that on the cross of Calvary. By his stripes, you were healed. You were. It's all part of the covenant. And the prodigal, back to the brother, and the prodigal's son's brother was jealous. He was angry. Religious people get angry when you celebrate someone getting saved or repenting. And he said, Father, I haven't, don't take my word for it. Challenge everything I say with the word of God. And the prodigal's brother said to his father, I have never left you. I have never disobeyed you. And yet you have never given me a goat to have a party with my friends. What was he saying? I know you have it, but you won't be sharing it. I'm angry because you're sharing it with him, but I know you have it, but you've never shared it with me. And the father says, son, you've been with me this whole time. Didn't you know that all that I have belongs to you? See, all that my father has, belongs to me. All that my father has, all that my heavenly Father has belongs to me. It's mine because I'm his child. Now we got to figure out. Go ahead. God's good. He has good plans for you, and he's generous because he's good. But it's to those who walk uprightly, those who do it his way. That's why the gospel, Jesus said, your Father knows you have need. But don't do it the way the world does. That'll wear you out. Do it my way. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. Make a priority how the king does it. And then all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things. Then after the condition is met. What's the condition for the reward? What's the condition for the access? Doing it how the king does it. It doesn't mean make an emotional statement, Jesus is number one, and he needs to be number one. But it's making choices in line the way the king does it. See, you can work 20, 30 years for a company that's struggling, and then all of a sudden you get hired by another company that is successful, that's flourishing. And if you're not careful, you'll bring in the way you think and the way you make decisions and the way you handle your department or your job based on the way the old company used to do it. You'll do their policies and procedures. And you, when you get hired to the new company, by automatic, autopilot, default, a knee-jerk reaction, you will react and act based on the way you used to act at the old company. But the new company will say, no, that's not how we do things. That's how I've always done it, but that's not how we do it here. And if you want to flourish here, if you want to succeed here, if you want to excel here, if you want to be promoted here, you got to learn how this company does things. We don't do it that way. We do it this way. A friend comes stay with your children at your house over the night, and they start acting up. We don't do that here. Well, that's the way I do it at home. You're not at home. You're here. This is how we do it here, right? If just because you've done it 20 years at the old system, at the old company, if you want to do well in the new company, you better figure out how they do it. And it's not going to always feel automatic. It's not always going to click with you. It's not always going to be your natural way of doing it. There is a transition time. There's an adjustment time for you to acclimate to the new environment. Can I get an amen? Anybody's ever got a different job? And it takes time. But over the process of time, the new way becomes your way. And when the new way becomes your way, you can relax and you can flow and you will flourish and succeed because you're working hard in the new way of doing things. What struggles in most people, they think because they showed up at church, God owes them. And God doesn't owe you anything. He's provided already everything. And you got to learn to access what God's provided. It's through faith and patience, the Bible says, Hebrews 11, that we inherit the promises of God. It's just not because you want it or need it or think you deserve it that you're going to get it. But if you do it the way the new company does, see, you're a wild branch, but you've been grafted into a new vine. You are in the kingdom of darkness, but when you get saved, you're brought into the kingdom of light. You can do it the world system and struggle under the weight and labor of it, or you can do it Jesus' way, who said, my burden and my yoke are easy, and they are light. And if you come unto me, I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to get... His system is a better system, but it's a little adjustment we have to go through to do it the kingdom way. See, we're used to a democratic process. God doesn't work under a democratic process. He's a king in a kingdom. And if you want the kingdom's results, you must do it the kingdom way. If you want what the king has available, you have to access it the king's way. And so we're learning that God is good. He is generous. How do I access what God has for me? How do you access what God has for you? Joshua 1:8, we look to his word. We look to his word. We're going to look at this verse in a second, but I want to throw this at you. God doesn't give you 10 steps. Because if you're like me, once you get the 10 steps, there's a human tendency to say, thank you, I'll see you later when I get the 10 steps over. And if I have a question or problem, I'll call you back. God does not give you 10 steps so you can leave him. God does this whole different other mindset. You know what he does? He walks by and says, follow me. Wow. He told the disciples, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. He didn't say, here's, read this manual, do these steps and you'll become. He said, follow me and you'll become. He said, follow me and you'll become. Let me say that again. He said, follow me and you'll become. Say that with me. Follow me. Come on, work with me, church. Say, follow me. Say, follow me, and then you'll become. See, if you want to become something, you got to learn to follow. If you want to become what he wants you to become, if you want to do what he wants you to do, if you want to have what he wants you to have, you have to follow him. But I don't see no Jesus walking around, Pastor. No, he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession, praying for you. But he left the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the other Paraclete. And the Holy Spirit, he said, would not speak of himself, but will remind you of my word. Because he is his word, John 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14, and the word became flesh. He draws your attention, and now we look to the word in Joshua 1, verse 8. And it says, this book of the law, talking about the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. What am I telling you? We need information. We got to read the word. We got to read the word. You got to trust the process. There's a TV program that I watch from time to time, and maybe you've seen it. It's called The Prophet. It's all about a billionaire business guy who comes into failing businesses and works with them, and he puts his own money up, and he works with them, and if they do what he says, they have this huge success. Sometimes he's got to walk away because they refuse to change. But one of the things he deals with, the product, if you've watched this program, he deals with the people and he deals with the process. And he'll say, listen, if I'm going to do this, I'll invest, but you got to follow me. You got to do what I ask you to do. And it's amazing how people will be like, yeah, because they had to write in to get him to show up. So they spend time writing in. They finally get him to show up. Their business is struggling and failing. They can't meet payroll. They can't make bills. And they're on the way to bankruptcy. And he shows up. And he has the money, but he's just not going to give them the money. He wants to teach them so they can take the money he gives them and multiply it because he's looking for a return. Ooh, that's a right there. We could just stop right there. You could dwell on that all day. Because Jesus talked about the master coming and having giving his servants one talent, two talents, and five talents. That's not talent like gift. That's talent as his money. And he just doesn't want them to hold it. He wants them to increase it, to return it, because he's looking for a return. God, you get to heaven because you're saved by grace through faith. But when you get there, he's wanting to see what you did with your life based on what he's invested in your life. And he'll come alongside you and say, you're struggling financially, you're struggling in your marriage, you're struggling in your health, you're struggling in your career, you're struggling in your peace of mind. I am all sufficient. And I can come alongside you, and I want to invest in you. But I need you to follow me. Because if you don't follow me, what I give you, you'll blow. And then you'll be back into the problem. So I want you to follow me so I can show you how to do it better, to do it right, and to do it my way. And when you do it my way, you're going to flourish, and what I gave you will be just the... What I give you won't be just the answer. Listen, what I give you will just be the seed. Think about that. Ooh, that's deep right there. Because he's just not trying to meet the need. He's trying to put in your life a seed that will so out multiply and bring an increase. Ah, I feel the anointing on that. And back to this TV program. Now we're going to flip back to TV. And that I think it's interesting that he'll deal with people that are struggling, and he'll say, okay, this is what we need to do. And some of them begin to fight. Some of them begin to get frustrated. Some of them are like, that's not how we do it. And he says quite often, trust the process. If you can just relax and trust the process, I know what I'm doing. I can help you. And I'm not here just to give you money and bail you out because you'll go back into the problem because you're dealing the old process. Trust the new process. Trust the process. And he keeps reminding them, you're doing good. Just trust the process. You're doing good. I know you're stressing right now, but just trust the process. You don't see it at the end yet. Just trust the process. And the ones who trust the process, oh, let's flip back to Jesus now. He'll say, just trust the process. I know it doesn't make sense always to you, and it might not be the way you used to it, and I could come in and bail you out, but if you got the old process, if you do it the world's way, you're going to be back in the old way, and I don't want you to be back in the old way. I want to make all things new. I'm connecting you to the vine. I'm the vine. You're the branch. Trust the process. Trust the process. Can I get anybody to say, trust the process? You got to trust the process. It's not always obvious when you see it and when he instructs you, but you got to trust the process. Oh my goodness, we're running out of time and I haven't got to the first verse. This is all intro. So, trust the process. I'm still having fun. Are you having fun? Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Notice this, before you do, you have to observe. That's where we get wrong. Because some of us don't do anything and we're expecting God to bring it to us. But God doesn't want you just to sit there and do nothing because you prayed a prayer and said in Jesus' name, and he's going to back up the truck of provision. Beep, beep, beep. Unload it here, Gabriel. Okay. It don't work that way. See, God told, he used Moses to get the people out, but he used Joshua to bring the people in. He used Moses to bring the people out, and he's using Joshua to bring the people in. God will use different people in your life, some to help you come out, some to bring you in. And he told Joshua, I'm going to give you the power to lead my people into the promised land. That's the place where I have made a promise. Oh, Lord, thank you for a bigger building so I can hang out for a little bit. That's the place where I've made the promise. See, this book is full of promises for you. That promise has already been prepared. He prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies, which means you're not waiting on God to make the table ready or provide. It's already been prepared. He's waiting for you to show up. And so we strive and we struggle and we're trying to do. You just can't wait. He told Joshua, I'm going to use you to lead my people, take them into the promise, right? I'm going to give you the promised land. Woo! But he didn't tell Joshua at the moment of the journey that there were 30 plus kings he had to kill first and their armies. You're going to have to kill this army. You have to kill this army. You have to kill this army. Wait a minute, God. Why can't you translate me? He did that in the New Testament, did he not, with Philip. Comes out of the water, translate him. Wouldn't that be cool? I'm praying that God translates me one day. Think of the money and time we could save. It takes me 23, 24 hours to fly to the Philippines to minister. Wouldn't that be cool? I'm preaching to you one minute. I'm in the Philippines preaching. I'm back here. Hey, that was a great trip. Wouldn't that be awesome? We'd all be happy. God can do it. He did in the New Testament, so we know he has the ability to do it. Why didn't he do it to his people, Israel? Because he had to develop them. Listen to me. You can inherit substance, but you cannot inherit status. Let that sink in. You can inherit substance, but you cannot inherit status. If your father was a heavyweight prize fighter and he dies and you inherit his money, whoo, but you, if you try to inherit the belt and you go into the ring, see the point? Most people are just trying to inherit the substance. But for you to do well, you need to achieve the status. God wants you to grow. Most people are just wanting substance, but they don't want to grow. God, give me a really nice car and a lot of money, a great job, but I don't want to change. Without growth, you can't handle what comes into your hand correctly. You prayed and even fasted to win a lottery ticket, you gambling thing. Repent. But do you know most people that win the lottery, majority of them within a few years are worse off financially? It's one thing to be stressed out because you're struggling financially. It's another thing to be stressed out because you blew $100 million and now you're struggling financially. Because you know in your mind that lightning might strike once, but it'll never strike you again. Why? Because they didn't have the character, the status to handle what God was trying to bring into their hand, their substance. God wants you to grow. And it doesn't just happen because you want it. You got to work. Faith without works is dead, which means doesn't produce change. Did you hear me? Proverbs 14. Let's look at that verse real quick. In all labor, there is profit. In all labor, there is profit. In all labor, there is profit. In all labor, there. Why do I say that? Because sometimes in our spirit-filled church circle, we get people thinking, if I just pray a little more, I don't have to do anything, and God will do everything. And they sit around, and they become stagnant, and they can't figure out why God didn't do it. There's something God does. There's something you to do. Proverbs 13:11 says, people who get caught up in quick, rich schemes see their wealth diminish quickly. But those who, through labor, build wealth, and it will last. Proverbs 13, verse 4. Write it down. Don't take my word for it. Labor, hard work, produces the blessing. There's a blessing that comes from the effort, and there's a blessing that comes from God. And you need both to work. Did you hear me? There's a blessing that comes from your hard work. If you're waiting for God to bless you and you do nothing, you'll never happen. And if you just do everything but don't trust God, you're never going to maintain what God has for you. Let's go back to the other verse, Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart of your mouth. Notice, you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do, that you may observe to do. There's something for you to do. There's something for you to do. Notice the end product. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We all want to be successful, but God says, I'll make you with good success. For it's the blessing of the Lord that will make you rich, and he will add no sorrow to it. The world system of success adds sorrow, adds weight, adds stress. That's why they stress out at the top. That's why they become alcoholics at the top. That's why they do drugs at the top. That's why they blow things up at the top. Why? Because if they're there without the character and doing it on their own, the weight of the responsibility will break them down. That's why some of you are afraid, oh, I don't want to take a promotion. That's too much stress. It is in the natural, but when you do it God's way, he adds not the weight to it. For his burden yoke is easy and light. It's success without the stress. It doesn't mean success without dealing with problems. It doesn't mean success without dealing with crazy people. It means dealing with those and not being overwhelmed by them because of the grace of God. Good success. Good success. But notice, it takes doing something, working hard, but it's working the right way. You can do it the hard way, you can do it the right way. Do it the hard way, then you're doing it all on your own. Do it the right way, and God will promote you. God will heal you. Because he's already done it. You're accessing it. It's a combination of you doing what he shows you to do. Notice, you'll meditate in the Word. Get the Word. Get the information day and night. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, notice, the Holy Spirit will remind you of my Word. He won't talk of himself. He'll remind. Say remind.
Remind.
Say remind.
Remind.
You know what that tells me? You have to have heard it before you can remember it. Have you ever been with friends and they begin to talk about, oh, remember when? And they're laughing and they go right into it. And you're like, I'm not laughing. Oh, you must not have been there. So because you weren't there, you can't remember it and can't experience the benefit of it. But when you're there, see, when you get the Word in your heart and you don't tell me that, oh, I'm struggling with impure thoughts, but you spend 5 minutes in the Word a week and yet you watch bad stuff on the internet 5 hours a day. Come on, somebody. What you feed grows. What you starve weakens. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. It's getting quiet. I need to stay here a little longer. Don't you know the key that in church, if the pastor says something and you just get excited and say amen, that means you agree and we can move on. You get quiet, that means you're under conviction. I have to stay here. Just let the Lord deal with you. We need to keep the Word. Keep putting the Word in. Matthew 13, it's like a seed. Keep putting the Word in. Keep putting the Word in. As you put that Word in, you're not going to get a revelation from it. Revelation comes from heaven. Jesus told Peter, what you know about me didn't come from man. It came from heaven. Revelation comes from the Spirit of God from heaven who reveals that Word that you've been planting in your heart. And as you keep doing it, it doesn't mean you get a revelation every time you read the Bible. But if you don't read the Bible, you'll never get a revelation because it's the entrance of his Word. The entrance of that Word. When it's breathed on and made alive, it's the entrance of that Word that gives light. Your Word, oh God, David said, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack any good thing. I shall not want. The King James says it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You got to follow him. Back to the whole thing. Follow him. Follow him. How do you do it? It's not doing everything. It's not doing just certain things. It's not doing what other people do. When you just copy what God's told other people do, you are under the burden of your own effort. But when you do what God tells you to do, you're under the blessing of his provision. He will show you. What are you doing? I'm just reading the Bible. I'm feeding my spirit. I'm putting it in there. It's like a well. It's like a bank. I'm adding deposits. I'm adding deposits. I'm adding deposits. And when it's the right time, he'll make it alive. But I can do a withdrawal. But you do a withdrawal at a bank without a deposit, then you're going to go to jail for trying to pass a bad check. Come on, somebody. Some of you are writing checks that your faith cannot cash because you haven't been making a deposit. You get the Word. It's information. Get the Word, information. The Bible says, New Testament, challenge this. Don't take my word for it, that you need not any man teach you, but the unction from the Holy One will teach you all things. It doesn't mean you don't need teachers in your life. We need teachers. We need preachers. We need friends. We need people to speak into our life. But I want you to know, all they're doing is giving you information. They're giving you information. They're giving you information. They're not giving you direction. Be careful. They shouldn't give you direction. All they do is give you information. They give you information. And the Holy Spirit will reveal the Word. He'll make you aware what you're to do. That's the direction you follow. I've got great men of God and women of God in my life. They'll say, this is what you need to do. I just listen. Thank you very much. It's information on the back shelf. Why? Because I'm not just looking for information. Out of the information, I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to stir that alive in my spirit, to shine the light of his Word on that. And when I get the light of God's Word, I have direction. You lack no problem. Are you listening? You have no problem with darkness when you have access to light. You do not have a problem with darkness when you have access. Well, I'm so dealing with the devil. It's because the light's off. Turn on the light and darkness flees. Turn on the light and darkness flees. You won't have problems with the devil when you got the light. Oh, my God. Because when that word is comes alive in the spirit, it changes your position. It changes your perspective. Isaiah says it this way: arise, shine, for your light has come. See, you're going to reposition yourself out of obedience because revelation has come. And as a result, you begin to reflect the light of who you focus on. Genesis 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to you. Notice your light. Your light. That means it's got to be a revelation. I was meditating this week and this hit me. You know, in Revelation it says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I've always taken it as the blood of what Jesus did and their testimony. Oh, this is what God's done. But the Lord dropped this on my heart this week. Back to Genesis 29, that the things revealed belong to you. The revelations, when God speaks in your life and reveals a word, it now becomes your word. It's your revelation. It belongs to you. Say, it's mine.
It's mine.
Jesus is the testimony. He is the testimony of Jesus. The word of God is the testimony of Jesus. When God reveals his word to you, it becomes your testimony. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the revealed word. Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this, but my Father from heaven. And I'm going to change your name from Simon to Petros, Peter, which means rock. And on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A gate is the last line of defense. He's saying, upon the light of revelation that you obey, the enemy who's trying to keep you out, the enemy's trying to hold you down, the enemy's trying to steal from you. Jesus said a strong man is secure in his possessions until a stronger than he shows up and he can bind him and take his goods. I'm telling you, you got some stuff that the devil's been holding back and he doesn't have a right. But when you get the light, you can obey and you come into the position of strength and ability and you can shine and you can bind and you can loose and you can take what belongs to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, you serve a good God. You serve a generous God. You serve a God who will guide you into the light. It's not doing everything. It's working hard doing the thing that he shows you to do. The devil doesn't want you to hear this. He doesn't want you to know it because we'd rather come and be prayed for and get everything immediately. But you have to grow. Jesus grew, the Bible says. He grew in stature. He grew in favor. He grew in the grace of God. We want everything immediately. You got to grow. Because what is growing? Just following that light. You lead me, I'll follow. Shines a light, you obey. Shines a light, you obey. Shines a light, you obey. And guess what happens? You're going to go from glory to glory. Proverbs 4 says the path of the righteous shines brighter. See, the revelation you thought before was good, wait till the next revelation, it's going to get brighter. Well, you thought that was good, wait till the next one, it's going to get brighter. And it keeps getting brighter until the perfect day, until the day of completion, until you want nothing. And anything that would come against you as a temptation, count it all joy because it's showing you there's some other stuff you got to work on. Don't let the devil deceive you or trip you up. His temptation is showing you by tactic that there's areas of you have unlocked the door, so you ought to get excited because now you know how to lock the door. And when you lock the door, you keep him out. And he wants you to know that through patience, you will let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. Say, thank you, Father. You're a good God. You're generous. To me, today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. You ought to pray, Lord, open my eyes, open my ears to hear and see what you want to show me. Because his path, his process, just trust the process. Just trust the process. It's all good. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap, praise. We're done.